So after all that introduction and all of those words, we come down to a number of different court decisions, one of them significantly redrawing our state legislative district lines, although there's still some debate as to Wake and Mecklenburg County, but still a pretty significant redraw that we're going to be voting on or voting with come November. And then our U.S. congressional district lines, which there's still an ongoing court fight over gerrymandering, but those are going to look pretty much the same, it looks like, in 2018 versus previous years. So with all of that in mind, where does that leave North Carolina in terms of what we can expect for the midterm?
Well, I think what's really interesting about the Supreme Court decision this week with Wake and Mecklenburg counties is I actually think we sort of end up with a House map now that is better for Republicans than the map they drew in 2011, which was not exactly what the outcome of this process was supposed to be. But what happened with Wake and Mecklenburg counties is, obviously the courts ruled that the General Assembly had to redraw some districts because of racial gerrymandering. And what happened over the course of the last 5 or 6 years is that Wake and Mecklenburg County shifted a lot in their politics. There's a bunch of districts in those two counties in particular that got a lot more Democratic from when they had been drawn in 2011. So you think about the districts of some folks like Nelson Dollar in Wake County, folks like Scott Stone and Andy Doolin in Mecklenburg County. When their districts were drawn in 2011, they were like Republican plus 10 districts. And then those are the sorts of areas of the state that shifted towards the Democrats over the last 5 years. So they'd been drawn as like Republican plus 10 districts. Then all of a sudden after the 2016 election, all of a sudden they're, you know, Democrat plus 3 or 4 districts. They'd gone from districts where Republicans wouldn't even have to think about losing to being districts where Republicans were likely to lose. So what the General Assembly did when it got the excuse to redistrict because of the districts that they had racially gerrymandered was they said, okay, as long as we have to do this, we're going to go into these districts in Wake and Mecklenburg County that turned against us over the last 5 or 6 years since we drew that first set of lines, and we're going to go in now and shore up those incumbents and make those districts more Republican. If you're making us redraw the lines, we're going to go ahead and redraw that stuff too. So the federal court said, no, you can't do that, and brought in the special master who drew districts in Wake and Mecklenburg County that would have been much better for Democrats. But the upshot of the court decision this week is that unless something else changes, Republicans are now going to get to have the elections in Wake and Mecklenburg County in these districts that they redrew halfway through the decade to basically protect themselves against how those areas had changed. So basically, there's maybe three to five districts in Wake and Mecklenburg County that I think under the maps that the Republicans drew in 2011, Democrats almost definitely would have won. And now under these new maps that the Republicans drew in 2017, Democrats might not be able to win those places this fall. So I know that's all very confusing, but basically the bottom line is the Republicans used their getting called out for a racial gerrymander as an excuse to shore up their incumbents in Wake and Mecklenburg County, even though that had nothing to do with the racial gerrymander.
It's at this point that I should mention to our listeners that there's a website called endgerrymanderingnow.org, which you can visit if you want an independent redistricting commission to end confusing conversations like this forever, but or at least significantly shift the nature of the debate one or the other. We're never going to completely eliminate the conversation. We can make it a lot less confusing. So where does that leave us in terms of the overall kind of picture? I mean, with Wake and Mecklenburg counties, you've got Republicans potentially drawing district lines to kind of shore up their support there. That still leaves 98 other counties in the state. And with a Democratic governor, Democrats don't necessarily need to take over one or the other house of the General Assembly. They could make a really big difference just by picking up a few seats in the House and Senate, House or Senate, and ending the Republicans' veto-proof majority. So where does the current lines as they stand right now with all of those court rulings, where does that leave us in terms of that picture?
Well, one thing that I think is definitely a truth is no matter how much you gerrymander, if it's a hugely Democratic year, you're still going to see Democrats pick up a lot of seats. Mm-hmm. And I do still think that's definitely the case for North Carolina this year, in spite of the court decision that made life a little better for Republicans. So I think I have very little doubt in my mind that Democrats will pick up enough seats to break the veto-proof majority, at least in the House, possibly in the Senate as well, because the dynamic that we're seeing right now is that even districts that voted for Trump by 5 or 6 points have a very good chance of flipping to the Democratic column. And sort of the other interesting dynamic that we've started to see some places is that even in districts that Trump won by 14 or 15 points, a dynamic that we're seeing a lot of is in those kinds of districts that, again, Trump won by 14 or 15, we're often seeing that the Democrats are only down by 4 or 5, and that then among voters who are actually excited about voting this year, the Democrats are up by 4 or 5. So there's a huge Democratic enthusiasm gap that may become pro-Democratic enthusiasm gap that may become particularly important this year, with there not being any senator, gubernatorial, or presidential race on the top of the ticket, as we've discussed. And then I think the other interesting thing that happened this week, a long way from North Carolina, but it's still relevant to North Carolina, there was a special election in Missouri on mm-hmm. Tuesday night in a district that voted for Donald Trump by over 30 points, that Democrats were able to win that legislative seat in a special election, somewhere they hadn't even bothered to run a candidate in 2016. It was so hopeless for Democrats that they didn't even run a candidate. Trump won the district by more than 30, and then this year Democrats go in there and win. So Democrats are winning places like that where on paper they would just have no chance at all. And one thing that is sort of a reality of what the Republicans have done with the gerrymanders, they've created a lot of Republican plus 10 sort of seats. And usually Republican plus 10 sort of seats aren't going to be competitive and are pretty safe to stay in the Republican column. But in a year like this year seems to be shaping up to be, that strongly benefits the Democrats, it may be that a lot of those Republican plus 10 seats end up not being so safe, and that Democrats actually, I think, have some potential to pick up more seats than they would if the Republicans didn't aggressively gerrymander as much. If Republicans just let Democrats have 50 safe seats instead of 45 safe seats, I think that would reduce the chances that Democrats might actually end up being able to win 55 or 56 seats, that sort of thing, because you do have to spread thinner to create more of these sort of lean Republican districts. So at any rate, no matter what the lines end up being, I think it'll be a good year for Democrats in North Carolina, and I do think they'll break that veto-proof majority. But the sort of easiest on paper gains for Democrats were in Wake and Mecklenburg County, and that definitely got a little harder this week with the court ruling.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want to find out more numbers statewide and nationally. Now that we're talking about this kind of contentious issue of partisanship and gerrymandering and everything else, let's turn to something that's really contentious, which is the Carolina-Duke rivalry. We've got a game coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Obviously, everyone in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Durham and the Triangle is going to be watching this game really closely. Where do we stand on this particular rivalry? What do we think about each other? I know you did a survey fairly recently about percentage of North Carolinians that support UNC versus Duke, but there have been other surveys that you've done semi-recently that dug a little further into that rivalry. What do we know?
So we asked people a few years ago, when we asked if you're rooting for UNC or Duke, we also asked a follow-up, which was, if you say you're rooting for UNC, would you more say that you respect Duke or that you hate Duke? And if you said that you were a fan of Duke, would you more say that you respect UNC or that you hate UNC? And it actually turns out that not that many UNC or Duke fans really hate the other school. 16% of UNC fans said they hate Duke, but 49% said that they respect Duke. And again, only 16% of Duke fans said that they hate UNC. 53% of Duke fans said that they respect UNC. So I think, it's fun to have a lot of bluster about the rivalry and talk about how much you hate each other and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, I think most Duke and UNC fans sort of realize that they have more in common with each other than they really have different at the end of the day. So while you may you know, feel very strongly that you want to beat the other school in basketball, it doesn't necessarily mean that you really do see the other school as total evil. For the most part, there's sort of a mutual respect there. And it's the same thing with Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski. Most UNC fans have a favorable opinion of Mike Krzyzewski. Most Duke fans have a favorable opinion of Roy Williams. So I think a lot of the quote-unquote hatred that gets turned into such a big thing is sort of in good fun hatred. And at the end of the day, there's a lot of mutual respect there.
That's good. But we're still going to beat Duke tonight, right?
Well, I sure hope so. I hate Duke. I have to present the poll findings such as they are, but I hate Duke.
publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Go there for more. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Go Heels.